This is IE America, Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan is alarmed about the volatile situation in the Middle East. Annan says all sides must recognize the importance of a peace plan.
I would like to take this opportunity to remind the government of Israel and the Palestinian Authority and the entire international community that the only alternative to this two-state solution is long-term conflict and instability.
Secretary of State Colin Powell said the U.S. will continue to play the role of an open and honest broker to help achieve the goals of the roadmap to peace. The U.S.-backed roadmap calls for creation of a permanent Palestinian state and new security guarantees for Israel. Secretary Powell said the roadmap can only be achieved when there is an end to terrorist activity. The case against a former Detroit man accused of spying at the Guantanamo Bay Cuba prison for al-Qaeda and Taliban suspects has sparked a large-scale probe. A military spokesman tells the Detroit Free Press an investigation is underway into all service branches and military posts worldwide. Air Force translator Ahmad al-Halabi is charged with espionage for allegedly passing information from prisoners to unnamed sources in Syria. Three servicemen are currently under watch for alleged security breaches. The military says more suspects may be forthcoming. Northwest Airlines is laying off fewer pilots than expected this fall. The nation's fourth largest carrier and the pilots union say 150 fewer captains will lose their jobs because of an unexpected surge in early retirements. As a result, only about 40 Northwest pilots are being furloughed this month and next. A Northwest spokesman says the change doesn't reflect any improvement in the business outlook.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days. Guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
The British rocker, known for his music videos featuring women with slicked back hair, tight dresses, and guitars, is dead. Robert Palmer was visiting Paris after a recording session in London when he died from an apparent heart attack. He was 54. British soul singer Seal says Palmer was a gentle, warm-hearted human being.
I was completely amazed by his diversity and his unique approach to songwriting and to singing. And then I had the great privilege and honor to work with him about 7 years ago.
Palmer gained notoriety in the 80s with hits such as Simply Irresistible and Addicted to Love. Born in Yorkshire, England, as Alan Palmer, he was influenced early in his life by artists like Lena Horne and Nat King Cole. Critics have described Palmer's latest album, Drive, as a fusion of R&B, Bahamian, and Caribbean rhythms.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Writer and actor George Plimpton has died in New York. Longtime friend and agent Fifi Oscard says Plimpton will be missed.
A more valued friend you couldn't imagine anywhere. He was, for me, the most intimidatingly charming person I'd ever met. Maybe he's going to write a book about this, bearing in mind that every big experience he had, he turned into a fascinating book.
Plimpton appeared in films such as Good Will Hunting and Little Man Tate. He even played himself on an episode of The Simpsons. He started his writing career as a sports writer, eventually becoming the editor of the Paris Review. Plimpton was 76 years old. It was a down day on Wall Street. The Dow was off 31 points to 93.13. The Nasdaq fell 25 to 17.92. The S&P 500 fell below the 1,000 mark. It was off 6 to finish at 9.97. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us, and the phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. You can email us, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Don't forget, go to MikeMalloy.com, check in on the active forums, or fora. Is that the right way to say it? Plural forum? It's right out of the Latin, isn't it? Forum is singular, fora is plural. Oh, it's going to be one of those nights. Blackboxvoting.org's founder, Bev Harris, will join us next hour regarding the Diebold lawsuit against, against her website. And a little bit later in the program, Simple Scotty McClellan fails yet again to understand reporters' very simple questions. This is becoming a real comedy of errors, this new White House spokesman, Scott McClellan. And his daily jousting, well, it's not even jousting, whatever it is with reporters. This guy is like one of those toys you used to buy your kids at Christmas, you know, your little kid, where you pull the string and the same answer comes every single time, right? There might be five different answers, but you know, the same one every time. Hey, if you listen to this program via radiopower.org, Shelby LePre there, who runs that website, and there are thousands of people who listen via radiopower.org. She's having a pledge drive tonight. The first 50 listeners that donate $25 will get a free Radio Power t-shirt. Eh? You want to check that out? Radiopower.org. Check it out. If you first 50 people donate $25, you get a free Radio Power t-shirt. That's a good deal. Yeah, I know. Times are tough. Well, that's why Shelby is doing this. And we'll talk about that tonight, too, the new poverty figures. Dear God, where do we live? Where do we live? I want to start out very quickly here. This is one of the quotes in that phony-ass interview with Brit Hume and Too Stupid to Be President the other night on the Fox Slime channel. Right after Brit Hume asked Bush how often he prayed, and Bush gave him some cockamamie answer that made absolutely no sense, Brit Hume then asked the following. When things go badly, as many people would feel they have been in Iraq, with the continuing casualties and struggles and difficulties, do you ever doubt? Now, I want you to listen to this answer.
I don't think they're going badly. I mean, obviously, I think they're going badly for the soldier who lost their life, and I weep for that person and their family. But, no, I think we're making good progress. As I said, I pray for calm when the seas are stormy, and my faith is an integral part of being of who I am.
Okay. The first part. Do you think things are going badly? I don't think things are going badly. I mean, obviously, I think they're going badly for the soldiers who lost their lives. Going badly? They're dead! You moron! They're dead! Yeah, I guess that would be, in some circles, considered going badly. Unless you're a fundamentalist Christian wacko, then things have just gone swimmingly, and you are now having a drink with Jesus, right? Oh, my God. I don't think they're going badly, he says. I mean, obviously, I think they're going badly for the soldiers who lost their lives. See, right away. But 2 minutes in the program, I'm screaming. We're going to hold on to that soundbite, and we're going to play that. I'm going to play that at least. Kathy, help me with this. I want to play this every night for as long as I'm still on radio, okay? If I'm on radio one more night, then this. If I'm on radio another 2 weeks, every night. If I'm on radio for the next 10 years, well, no. If I'm on radio for the next 3 or 4 years, every single night that this jackass remains in the White House. Well, wait a minute. That's only another 14 months. Okay. Every night that I'm on the air for the next 14 months, I want you to play this, okay? I mean, obviously, I think things are going badly for the soldiers who lost their lives. Okay, let me try to get a handle on the blood pressure and get back. Oh! We also have Uncle Mike's Story Hour tonight, courtesy of Molly Ivins. You're going to love it. And we'll be giving away two copies of our colleague. What's our colleague's name? Tom Hartman. His book, Unequal Protection. Tom Hartman's book. Two copies tonight. Probably in the second hour. Probably after the interview or the conversation. It's not interview. Jesus, I don't interview people like Bev Harris. We talk. After the conversation with Bev Harris, we'll probably have the question. Of the evening, and you can first two correct answers get a signed copy of Tom Hartman's book, Unequal Protection. Now, tonight, not tonight, this afternoon, I came back from the dentist's office. I don't like going to see my dentist. I mean, he does good work, but he's former Air Force dentist, okay? And to him, pain is just a psychological distraction. So every time I go to my dentist, it's not a pleasant experience. I know, change dentists. But I go to this guy because why? I don't know. I force a habit. You know, it's just force a habit. So I come home from a trip to the dentist's office. And I turn on Crossfire. And Tucker Carlson and the Raging Cajun are doing their little, you know, they pick a topic and they rave about it for 30 seconds or whatever. And then the other guy gets a rebuttal, you know, whatever the time frame, maybe a minute with a 30-second response, whatever. So I'm watching the Raging Cajun just do what he does best, which is what I do best, which is push ourselves right up to a burst artery. But then Tucker Carlson says something that I just about fell off the bed. I was up in the bedroom, you know, just lying down for a couple of minutes because the pain was still throbbing. And Tucker Carlson related what happened to him yesterday, and I just felt a surge of compassion for Tucker Carlson. I just wanted to scoop him into my arms and give him a hug. Here's what happened. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, when they were talking about the telemarketing thing and the no phone list and yada, 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 Tucker Carlson jokingly gives his phone number on the air. But it's not really his phone number. Actually, it's the switchboard phone number at that disgusting Fox News channel. Okay? That's kind of funny. According to Tucker Carlson, the switchboard operator at Fox took some calls from people wanting to talk with Tucker. Okay? That's not a terrible thing, is it? It's a trickster thing. I don't know. If I were the switchboard operator at Fox, maybe I would have been thoroughly pissed off. But apparently there's a couple of dozen phones. Hi, is Tucker Carlson there?
This is Fox News Channel.
I'm sorry. You said this was a phone. So how did Fox News Channel respond? They posted his unlisted home phone number on their website. Now, Tucker Carlson does crossfire from Washington. His family lives in New York. At home was his family, his wife, and four young children. So what do you suppose happened with these knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing, snot-nosed geeks who watch Fox News Channel? Oh, you're way ahead of me. You're way ahead of me. For the next 4 hours, Tucker Carlson's wife and children were subjected to phone call after obscene phone call from these drooling Fox viewers. His children were insulted. His wife was insulted.
Well, Mike, why didn't he just take his damn phone off the hook?
Well, first of all, he wasn't there. He was in D.C. His wife and four children are home, alone, in New York. And obviously, if you're on the road and your spouse is home alone, do you expect your spouse to leave the phone off the hook? No, I don't think so. It's just mind-boggling doesn't get it. Quick, Kathy, give me another one. Mind-ripping, mind-chewing, mind-fracturing, mind-breaking. The audacity, the discourtesy, the filth of people who watch Fox News Channel. Damn you all. Tucker Carlson, who I just read an interview with him. I don't know where I read the interview, but he comes across as possibly the kind of Republican or conservative, let me say conservative, that you could go have a beer with. All right? Yeah, his politics suck. Well, he's not old enough for a beer. Well, he's got four kids. All right. Go have a beer or an ice cream soda, one of the two. But in the interview, he used some pretty gamey language. He used the F word a couple of times, and I don't mean fascist. But Tucker Carlson, although when he's trying to defend this right-wing trash that passes for Republicanism in this country now, yeah, you want to throw something at the television. But this attack, now, keep this in mind. Keep this in mind, okay? People who watch Fox News are insane. Tucker Carlson is a conservative. He spouts conservative rhetoric and conservative philosophy. Oh, he's not a Bushonian, but he's a conservative. The people who watch Fox allegedly are conservatives. No, the people who watch Fox are insane. So they call Tucker Carlson's home and make obscene, filthy phone calls to his wife, according to Tucker Carlson. And when he related this story, with the raging Cajun sitting across from him, Tucker Carlson's face went white. You know, little pink cheek bow tied Tucker Carlson. He became the whitest white boy on television right at that moment. You could tell that he was just seething. So the raging Cajun came to his defense. And I thought he was going to use the kind of language we use on this program sometimes. Have I said yet how much I hate these people? Have I? Huh? It's 19 minutes past the hour. The first time tonight I've said, I just hate them. I just hate them. Okay. As a matter of fact, that's what King David's calling about, right, David?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll come back to you in just a second. We got a break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. We'll be right back.
gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express. Sears. Good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In a guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work, to a mall, to the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Show. Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. And I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling that 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Up to the flying monkey right. It's more of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. All right, Jeff has a phrase. Mind numbing. Okay. Mind boggling is, I don't know. A Schwarzenegger movie is mind boggling. But this stuff, this Tucker Carlson stuff, this Fox News Channel viewers, unbelievable. King David, who is very expert in media things, especially radio, checks in. Hey, David.
Hello. How about mind shredding?
Mind shredding is good. By the way, David is our Woodstock Nation bureau chief.
Yeah. And sometimes it pays more to be here than there.
Yeah, it does. I take it you saw that exchange today.
As a matter of fact, I did. By the way, the web page that CNN showed, mm-hmm. you know, they blotted out, obviously they blotted
the
out
phone
the,
number, yeah.
Yeah, the local number, but they left the area code, which was 703. Which is suburban...
That's Virginian.
Yeah, suburban Virginia.
Yeah.
After looking at this, now, the thing is, anybody in the media really wants to have whatever vestiges of privacy left
mm-hmm.
that they can have, especially, you know, a telephone number. I mean, there are people... who are still ticked at me for what I used to write on RadioDigest.com 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I can just imagine a Steve Dahl fan would love to have my phone number.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm sure. There are still Steve Dahl fans, right?
Yeah, or a ManCow fan or whatever, you know,
right.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a news organization, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I think I'll start calling them, some people call them FNC. I think I'll call them FNC.
There you go. Maybe it was not New York. Maybe it was Virginia. I just know that he was not there. He was in D.C. Where did they do that show? George Washington University.
At the GW, right?
Right. And I thought I heard him say that his family was home in New York, but perhaps that's not the case. Maybe they do live in suburban D.C. Out in Virginia.
Right. But it was apparently his kids who answered during dinner.
Yeah.
You know, for the first wave of these calls.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the reaction, I thought it was rather interesting that Jim Carville reacted by referring to FNC as a pond scum
organization. Yeah.
The thing is that pond scum, as unattractive as it is, actually serves a biological purpose.
Yes, it does.
Fox News does not.
I love to watch Carville in the same kind of macabre way that a lot of people like to listen to me, just go right up to the edge, ready to pop arteries and have strokes and heart attacks, because Carville does the same thing on television, but man, his facial expressions, how would you like to be on the wrong end of a James Carville facial attack? Woo! Good Lord, that man can distort his facial features, can he, when he gets really pissed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's almost a, you know, watching him is almost, to a certain extent, a strange form of Schadenfreude.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think
really.
About it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
But the thing is, Tucker Carlson, you know, as much as I dislike a lot of the things that he says,
mm-hmm.
I have to say that he has always impressed me as being more of a Goldwater conservative.
Yeah, and he is where he is. His function there is the same as Carville's or Begala's, and that is to raise hell, to really push the envelope on that program. They, you know, CNN already cut it back to 30 minutes, already took away its, the phone calls, took away its hour format and so on and so forth. But, you know, Tucker Carlson, like I said, he's probably the kind of conservative that you could go have a beer with or a cream soda and not lose your lunch. But the fact that these Fox listeners attacked a conservative, that's the part that... what do these people have? Swiss cheese for brains? I swear, David, they just make me want to barf.
Yeah, well, I'm veggie now, but I used to like Swiss cheese.
Well,
I wouldn't even go that far.
I know.
Do
you want to hold on?
Yeah.
All right, let me put you on hold and come right back. Stay with us. Quick break here. I'm Mike Malloy.
The army calls, I grab my TV, my car, and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world, every night and day, on my TV.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the Enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the Enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Discrimination against female employees of Walmart runs so rampant that a case against the retailer deserves class action status. That's what six female plaintiffs argued before a federal judge in San Francisco yesterday. If the plaintiffs are successful, they'll add over 1.5 million current and former women employees of Walmart to the case. Plaintiffs charge Walmart segregates department employees by gender and routinely favors men over women for raises and promotions. The suit seeks compensation for lost wages and an order to halt discriminatory practices.
Think the U.S. economy is causing pain across the populace? Think again. A new report from the Congressional Budget Office finds that the richest 1% of Americans have more money to spend now than they did 20 years ago. In fact, the top 1% have more money to spend after taxes than the entire bottom 40% of the American population. It's the largest disparity between rich and poor noted by the CBO since it began tracking the trend in 1979. This corresponds well with the release of the Forbes list of the richest 400 Americans. Even though stocks have been pummeled over the last 2 years and most have lost money, those who made the list saw their net worth increase by $955 billion.
Hospitals seeking to do no harm should first hire better trained nurses. That's the conclusion of a new University of Pennsylvania study that shows conclusively that hospital death rates go up as nurse education levels go down. Researchers found that patients undergoing surgery were twice as likely to die of complications in hospitals where the percentage of nurses with four-year bachelor's degrees was lower. A previous report conducted by the same researchers found that inadequate nurse staffing levels also contribute to thousands of preventable deaths each year.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Man, I just feel like we're very pressured tonight, Kathy, because we have so much to try to pack into this program. Back to King David, our Woodstock Nation bureau chief. We're talking about the Tucker Carlson situation.
Very briefly, just to liven up the night for Cubs fans, it's Milwaukee 9, Houston 5 in the bottom of the third.
Thank you, David. You have a good weekend.
Yeah, I'll try.
All right, sir. Take care. You got to love him. From Anna. Mike, remember when the bunny said he knew what war was all about because he was the one who asked to hug the mothers and widows of the dead soldiers? Well, where are all those photo ops showing the compassionate conservative hugging 300-plus mothers and widows? There has not been one photo op or media account of AWOL even acknowledging the death of specific U.S. soldiers, much less hugging and consoling the grieving families. Bush is stuck between the photo op and a hard place. He can't use a compassionate conservative hugging media fest without calling attention to dead soldiers. And he can't do that now, can he? What a scurrilous slime ball. Anna. Hey, George! Things are going badly over there in Iraq, aren't they?
I don't think they're going badly. I mean, obviously, I think they're going badly for the soldier who lost their life, and I weep for that person. And
you weep for that person, huh? You weep for that person. Oh, God. Speaking of soldiers, dead and not dead, a couple of days ago it was announced that our forces in Iraq would be given 15-day, they call them vacations now. Back in the day, they used to call them furloughs. It gets you out of a combat zone. And back in a not quite so far away day, they called them R&R. Now they call them vacations. Can you believe that? Hey, you get a vacation from killing and being killed. 15 days off. Now, here's the fly in the ointment. The Bush administration's Defense Department, under the psychopath Rumsfeld, will pay for the soldiers. This is my understanding. Correct me if I'm wrong. They will pay for the soldiers to take them out of Iraq back to the nearest city to their base, where they're based. Then it's up to the soldiers to go from that point to their hometowns using their own money. Can you believe this? If they take train, bus, rent a car, or get a connecting flight, they have to pay for the rest of it out of their own pocket and back to the place they have to re-disembark to go back into hell. Every day, this Bush crime family comes up with something that's just, it's so stunning, it blots out what these thugs did the day before, right? I saw this today in the Chicago Tribune. Clint sent this to me, and I just, listen to this, just a couple of sentences here. In the early 1980s, Osman Correa Aguilera was a Sandinista soldier fighting U.S.-funded Contra rebels in the northern Nicaraguan hills. Mr. Aguilera still carries bullet shrapnel in his hip from a Contra ambush. Bullets bought and paid for, of course, truth seekers, by the U.S. Today, Lieutenant Colonel Osman Correa Aguilera is the ground commander for the 113 Nicaraguan soldiers serving alongside U.S. forces in Iraq. In 1979, Javier Carrion was one of the Sandinista guerrilla commanders who directed the overthrow of the U.S.-backed Somoza dictatorship. And he still proudly shows off photos of himself in scruffy beard, guerrilla's beret, and camouflage. Today, General Javier Carrion is the Nicaraguan Army Chief of Staff who sent the 113 Nicaraguans to Iraq. Will somebody explain this to me? Here's a country that we sent the Marines into in 1920 to establish the Somoza dictatorship. We sent the Marines. No, we didn't. Excuse me. We sent an illegally trained and funded army into Nicaragua in the 80s to overthrow the Sandinista government that had thrown Somoza and his family out on their asses. So, one Yankee intervention into Nicaragua leads to another Yankee intervention, this time in Iraq, and former Sandinistas are participating? Well, maybe this explains it. First of all, there's a growing demand from opposition Sandinista lawmakers, church leaders, and the public to bring the troops back home to Nicaragua. But you see, that country faces a U.S. demand to give up its arsenal of surface-to-air missiles, which U.S. officials say could fall into the hands of terrorists. Nicaragua has resisted, saying the missiles are important for maintaining a regional balance of power. So Alejandro Bandana, director of the Institute of International Studies in Managua, Nicaragua, says, to send troops to Iraq is to get brownie points. Oh, my God. Turning one third world country. Yes, Nicaragua is. Against another. Boy, sometimes when I don't know. Sometimes it's just almost gagging to be an American, isn't it? It just is. It just is. Ah. 800 Talk, yes. Peggy is calling from Detroit. Peggy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
We're happy to have you on in Detroit. We're listening to you on WSDS.
Ypsilanti.
Yep.
Well, good to hear from you, Peggy.
The reason I'm calling is my niece went on, she's with the 101st Airborne, and she went on an R&R supposedly, and she was told it was going to be anywhere from a week to 12 days. And she's been in Iraq, in Kuwait, and she went into Kuwait in January. She went into Iraq with the 101st Airborne when the, before the war started.
Mm-hmm.
And they let her off for 3 days.
3 days?
3 days, that was it.
I thought they were supposed to get 15 days.
She got 3 days.
So where did she go? Saudi Arabia?
I don't know where she went for 3 days, but we haven't heard back from her. But she was in Saudi Arabia, but that was, you know, for the other war.
Now,
war on terrorism.
Now, yeah. was this part of the 15-day vacation stuff that's being put out there by Rumsfeld's Defense Department?
I don't know. This happened to her about 3 weeks ago. She sent an email to her mom,
mm-hmm.
and she got back after 3 days and sent another email and said, they only let me stay away for 3 days.
Good God.
Mm-hmm.
This is your first time calling, right, Peggy?
Yes.
Well, welcome aboard.
Okay.
Glad to hear from you. Well, don't be a stranger. Let us know. Keep us posted on what happens to your niece. You say she is...
With the 101st Airborne.
101st Airborne, and you don't know where she is now?
She's in Mosul.
Oh, back in Baghdad, or mm-hmm. back in Iraq.
Yep. She got there in February
mm-hmm.
and went in behind the Marines. She's with the 101st Airborne.
Right.
And she just has been told that she cannot go on any more than this 3-day leave. And she went on it, and that was it. And she was supposed to get anywhere from 1 week to 2 weeks.
Right, right. Good God.
Yep.
Keep us posted, Peggy.
Okay.
Thanks for checking in. Appreciate your call. See, that's another reason why I've got to stop saying our boys in Iraq, because... it's not just boys. What else have I got here very quickly? Oh, Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? This is another one. You know, I really like that movie. What was the movie where he landed on the meteorite, Kathy? What was it? Extinction? Armageddon. I knew it was one of those big words. The scientific words. And, I kind of like that movie. I love science fiction movies. I love space movies. They just trip me out. And, I got all choked up at the end. Who played his daughter? The one that's in Liv Tyler, right? She chokes me up anyway. But I don't care what she's doing. I get choked up when I see Liv Tyler. But, you know, it was just, dad's going to stay there and blow the asteroid into a million pieces to save the world. And the boyfriend makes it home. And, you know, you just sit there. And then you find out, Kathy told me this a couple of weeks ago, that Bruce Willis is just a screaming right winger. Just an absolute right winger. So here he is. Now, there's nothing wrong in performing for the troops. He went to Telfar, I believe is the way you pronounce it, northern Iraq, about 36 miles from the Syrian border, according to Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent here. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. The article says some sitting atop grounded helicopters. Grounded helicopter? Does that mean helicopters that don't fly because they don't have parts? That's what grounded means to me. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you. And that's fine. Okay. You know, when you're 6,000 miles from home, to kill people or be killed, yeah, you need support. You need the kind of support that brings you home. But all right, so far nothing wrong with the story, right? But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket. $1 million reward for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. If you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with Saddam Hussein. Isn't he just a man's man? Huh? Chris says, tough talking, son of a bitch, isn't he? He'd like 4 seconds with Hussein. $1 million out of Bruce Willis's pocket if somebody catches Saddam and does what? Brings him to Bruce? Will Bruce go back to Iraq? Dixie Chicks, since we're doing entertainment, Dixie Chicks have decided to break with the country music scene. They say they don't want to be a country music band anymore. The violinist in the group, Marty McGuire, told Spiegel magazine, quote, "We don't feel part of the country scene any longer. It can't be our home anymore." She said she was disappointed. Other country singers didn't back up the Chicks in their famous or infamous criticism of Bush's policies on Iraq. Marty McGuire said, "A few weeks ago, Merle Haggard said a couple of nice words about us, but that was it. The support we got came from others like Bruce Springsteen. They went home empty-handed from the Country Music Awards ceremony, right? They did win 3 Grammys against much stronger competition." So Dixie Chicks violinist Marty McGuire says, "We now consider ourselves part of the big rock and roll family." Yeah. There's some country music that I like, but I've never cared too much for most of the country music singers. I don't know. They're just too weird. You know, they're all serial adulterers. They're drunks. They're drug users. Nothing wrong with that, you know. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But every time you read about a country western star who, got too far into the bottle, too far into drugs, you know, "Jesus pulled me back and my music." "Jesus, but did you hear about that bastard Bill Clinton? Did you see what he did to defile the Oval Office?" I hate hypocrisy, and I hate sneaks. You wear Levi's still? I still do. I've told Kathy, if I die first, bury me in a pair of Levi's, all right? But I think I'm going to switch over to Wranglers. Did you hear what's happened here? The oldest All-American Blue Jeans maker is zipping up production facilities at home. You like that line? Levi Strauss & Company, founded in 1853, is closing its remaining North American factories. A couple in this country, a couple in Canada, and they're exporting the jobs. Levi Strauss & Company said it will cut 1,980 more North American jobs within 6 months when it closes its 2 remaining U.S. plants in San Antonio, Texas, as well as 3 plants in Canada. This marks the end of Levi's jeans making in the United States. You just want to scream sometime. What the hell is going on? The article in the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, says by the end of December, Levi's said it will fire 800 sewing machine operators, fabric finishers, and other plant workers in San Antonio. At that point, the 150-year-old American company will have closed the last of its plants in the country where its brand achieved global fame. Much of the work once done in this country has moved instead to contract factories in Asia and Latin America. Last year, Levi's closed its original Valencia Street plant in San Francisco, which had been open since 1906. I guess it wasn't the original one, but it's an old one. About 100 San Francisco workers lost their jobs. Now, in San Antonio, just a little more here. This is Bush's America. In San Antonio, where Levi's has had sewing operations for 25 years, workers were dismayed. Hope Villanueva, who has worked for Levi's for 3 years, said there was shock and anger. A lot of people cried. Workers in San Antonio, many of whom make $11 an hour, said it would be difficult to find other jobs that pay that much. Well, boy, is that the truth. "We were blessed to be here. We're never going to find a place like this," said one of the workers, who had spent 26 years working with Levi. Now, get this. The nearly 2,000 plant workers affected by this year's layoffs will benefit from about a $1.4 million work transition training and community grants through the nonprofit Levi Strauss Company or Foundation. $1.4 million job retraining to do what? What are they going to be retrained to do? I have people listening to this program who are physicists, who are rocket scientists, who are brilliant, and they're doing telemarketing, or they're driving around with metallic signs on the sides of their cars saying, hey, will you give me a job? What's going to happen to these workers in San Antonio? What are they being retrained for?
Well, it's not going to be telemarketing, is it?
Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
About people finding work, you better increase demand if you're trying to create new jobs. In other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
Jesus, God. Oh. All right, just a few minutes. Bev Harris, right after the break at the top of the hour, is going to join us from blackboxvoting.org, so stick around for that. Mike is calling from Orlando. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Well, I guess I got to do less work. That'll help us create jobs. Huh?
There you go.
I just wanted to tell listeners not to worry about OPEC's announcement to decrease production and, you know, the up and down, up a dime.
Nothing to worry about?
You know, nothing to worry about when the prices go up and down on gas because, you know, over the summer, the demander and thief, he raised our strategic oil reserves to the highest level ever.
Yeah.
So he's poised to save us this winter. So.
Oh, you think he's going to?
It's kind of fishy how he did all that, you know.
But if he artificially, well, it's all artificial, but if he artificially manipulates the market, that will take profits away from the U.S. and British oil companies. I mean, it's not, you know, OPEC may have the oil, but who refines it and who distributes it and who turns it into gasoline in this country isn't an American company. So why would Bush release from the strategic reserves this oil we have set back?
Short-term savings for long-term gain.
Yeah, but, you know. But he this guy thinks in 30-day cycles.
Second cycle.
30-day cycles where it concerns his buddies in the oil business.
Hey, what it really called about was his article in the Christian Science Monitor. Skip a year of high school. You can in Florida. So with the tight budgets and new class size restrictions, the state now grants diplomas for 18 credits instead of 24.
Because
we voted to reduce class sizes.
That's right. Yeah.
And they said some of their creative thinking is kind of funny. High schoolers are being offered a chance to earn diplomas with 18 rather than 24 credits, in effect finishing early. Supporters say it provides greater flexibility for those eager to start college or other high school post-high school aspirations.
Like the military or a fast food job.
Two paragraphs later, it says the program may appeal to those wanting to pursue a military or vocational career. I guess so they can get out and enter the jobless market. I just wanted to let people know in Florida. Go ahead on the Christian Science Monitor website, print this out, talk to your friends in Florida about our education governor.
Yeah.
And Mike, before I go, I just want to leave you this one thought. You can't spell implied without LIED. You have a good evening.
There you go. Thank you. Appreciate it, Mike. All right, quick break here. If you're on hold, stick around. We're going to talk with Bev Harris and then back to your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Retired General Wesley Clark is set to hold his first rally as a Democratic presidential candidate tomorrow in New Hampshire. There's now less than 4 months to go before the first in the nation New Hampshire primary. A van load of supporters from Rhode Island plans to drive up to Dover for the event. Rhode Island Clark organizer Brett Davies says the supporters want to send the general a message.
There's been a lot of criticism from the Fox News, the Rush Limbaughs, and I think that shows that he's the candidate the Republicans are really afraid of. So we just want to tell him to keep encouraged and to keep going and that we're behind him 100%.
The Rhode Island supporters will join hundreds of their counterparts from across the Northeast to welcome the former NATO Supreme Commander to the presidential primary campaign. Davies says the Clark campaign is picking up steam and polls show the former general in third place in New Hampshire, trailing former Vermont Governor Howard Dean and Massachusetts Senator John Kerry. He says the theme of the campaign will be responsibility, criticizing President Bush for what Clark says are irresponsible tax cuts and a war in Iraq that was not well thought out.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Writer and actor George Plimpton has died in New York. Longtime friend and agent Fifi Oscard says Plimpton will be missed.
A more valued friend you couldn't imagine anywhere. He was, for me, the most intimidatingly charming person I'd ever met. Maybe he's going to write a book about this, bearing in mind that every big experience he had, he turned into a fascinating book.
Plimpton appeared in films such as Good Will Hunting and Little Man Tate. He even played himself on an episode of The Simpsons. He started his writing career as a sports writer, eventually becoming the editor of the Paris Review. Plimpton was 76 years old. The British rocker, known for his music videos featuring women with slick back hair, tight dresses, and guitars, is dead. Robert Palmer was visiting Paris after a recording session in London when he died from an apparent heart attack. He was 54. British soul singer Seal says Palmer was a gentle, warm-hearted human being.
I was completely amazed by his diversity and his unique approach to songwriting and to singing. And then I had the great privilege and honor to work with him about 7 years ago.
Palmer gained notoriety in the 80s with hits such as Simply Irresistible and Addicted to Love. Born in Yorkshire, England, as Alan Palmer, he was influenced early in his life by artists like Lena Horne and Nat King Cole. Critics have described Palmer's latest album, Drive, as a fusion of R&B, Bahamian, and Caribbean rhythms.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Arnold Schwarzenegger got a big boost in his California governor run in Los Angeles when Congressman Daryl Issa announced his support for Schwarzenegger. Steve Gonzalez was there.
Schwarzenegger graciously accepted the support of his former rival.
He was the first one to come out and say, the people have suffered enough.
under the hands of Gray Davis. And let's take our state back from the special interests. You were the first one to talk about that issue. Thank you very much for your great contribution. Thank you. Big hands of your eyes.
Schwarzenegger refused questions about Governor Davis's informal challenge to a debate. In Santa Monica, I'm Steve Gonzalez.
It was a down day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones was off 31 points to 93.13. The NASDAQ fell 25 to 17.92. And the S&P 500 fell below the 1,000 mark. It finished off 6 to 9.97. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Your car coughing, sputtering, riding rough? Think your service center has one magic machine that checks everything? Oh no, one size doesn't fit all. When I come back, I'll give you the scope. The scoop.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
Just like in a doctor's office, different diagnostic tools are used for different symptoms in service centers. A scope performs an EKG on your car's electrical system and checks engine functions as it runs, just like a patient on a treadmill. A scanner, on the other hand, talks with car's onboard computers and sensors, like getting a patient history. But if your car has new noises, hard steering, bumpy ride, or vibrating brakes, you don't need a machine test. You need a doctor, a qualified, experienced technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Bev Harris is the originator of the site blackboxvoting.org and has spent considerable amount of time out of her life trying to fight against the fraud being perpetrated against this country where it concerns electronic voting. She joins us from Seattle, Washington. It's been a while since we've talked. Bev, how are things going? Not so well, I take it.
Well, they're going the way they're going.
yeah, indeed.
Frankly, I have to say, I think Diebold did one of the silliest things I've ever seen in my PR career. You know, the first thing you do is when you take down something and say no one can look at this is get every reporter in the country saying, well, what can I look at? Can I see it?
Now, before we go any further, it's Diebold. I keep saying Diebold. It's Diebold.
Somebody told me it's Diebold.
Okay, let's go with Diebold. You're
but
the
expert. But then Diebold
here.
Rhymes with Leibold.
Yes, so it does. Well, when I went to your website and saw the notice posted there, how long before blackboxvoting.org will be back online?
Good question. We fortunately also have blackboxvoting.com, and it's a completely – I'm pleased that we did it this way in the beginning. It's a completely different setup, completely different server, everything. Different owner, everything. And so we're going to migrate everybody over there for a little while. It's going to take us a few days to get our forums back up, and that is damaging. Because one of the things I think they were trying to do, they had this big SAIC report come out, which was quite damaging. And I think we get a lot of the press, the print media, comes to our site to get the other side of the issue. And I think they wanted that those discussion boards shut down in the worst possible way, and they did achieve that. But the information flow is just going merrily along at blackboxvoting.com.
When you say the print medium comes there for information on the other side, I have to confess, I read an awful lot of newspapers online, and I get two hard copies at home, New York Times, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I have not seen anything recently.
Yeah.
Maybe I've just missed it.
They're not getting the story out adequately, but interestingly enough, as soon as it went offline, I got two emails from New York Times reporters saying, please get this back up. We need this site. So I have to assume someone's doing something behind the scenes and hoping they'll someday get managerial support for it. Sort of wonder. I know the problem, why you haven't seen it, because I talk to a lot of reporters, and the problem is that the reporters want to do the story, and they're not getting management support for it, except in a very few places.
That's just mind-bending.
Yes, it is.
It's just an outrage.
It's surreal.
You know all this, but... before the program, we pulled some information. This is stuff that you know, but I don't know if all of our listeners know it. It says here 37 states currently use Diebold voting machines. Around 40,000 of those machines are in place. The only surprising upsets during the off-year elections were states using Diebold voting machines, and all discrepancies from polling data went in favor of Republicans. There were no Democratic so-called upsets in Diebold states. Now, here in Georgia, this was a classic situation where it concerned Roy Barnes and Max Cleland. And again, you know this. The average margin of error in these polls is usually plus or minus 4%. Now, a poll by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and WSB Television of 800 likely voters on November 1st for Georgia governor, Roy Barnes had 51%. Sonny Perdue had 40%. Barnes, obviously, was up 11 points. The official results were Roy Barnes got 46%, Sonny Perdue got 51%. That's a 16-point pro-Bush swing. Was that magic?
Well, I think it was statistically impossible, just about, because the margin of error is, what, 3 or 4%?
Uh-huh.
It also occurs to me that that's why we have this big problem with among certain parties with having voter news service anymore, because, you know,
right.
They have a margin of error. When you are dealing with changing things past that margin of error, it becomes really hard to explain.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I think we've got a problem.
The other race here, of course, Max Cleland and Saxby Chambliss. On November 1st, Cleland had 49%, Chambliss had 44%. The official results, Cleland 46%, Chambliss 53%. That's a 13-point pro-Bush swing. Was that magic?
Well, I think we probably have the same explanation for that one.
And then, of course, was it the Colorado Senate race, Tom Strickland and Wayne Allard. Mm-hmm. Then there was the Minneapolis race, Mondale and Coleman. Texas, of course, the situation in Texas.
And it's not just Diebold. It's Diebold, ES&S, and Sequoia. Those are the three players that seem to have these different anomalies.
And
Sequoia is not always as politically affiliated, but it tends to pop up where they have gambling on the menu.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about Baldwin County, Alabama?
Oh, yeah. There's a good one. Now, that's ES&S.
Now, it says here, Baldwin County results showed that Democrat Don Siegelman earned enough votes to win the state of Alabama. All the observers went home. The next morning, however, 6,300 of Siegelman's votes inexplicably had disappeared, and the election was handed to Republican... Bob Riley.
Yeah, let's forget his name because...
yeah, and a recount...
That inexplicable thing, maybe we should forget.
A recount was requested and denied.
Right. Right. Of course, they couldn't have probably done it anyway if they had touch screens. I'd love to tell you about another inexplicable swing,
okay,
which we found something out about because we got internal memos after the fact where they were discussing the inexplicable swing.
Mm-hmm.
In Florida, during the election with Bush, something very odd happened in Volusia County. They had the results came in, and then suddenly the results were coming in, and a clerk was noticing that Gore's votes were running away. They were going down instead of up.
Mm-hmm.
And so she notified folks, and they did correct it and catch it, but not until Gore had negative 16,022 votes. Well, this made the papers that mm-hmm. there was this thing happen, and then they found it and corrected it only because a clerk was really watching. But... we've got a hold of this stash of internal Diebold memos recently. And in these memos is something quite disturbing. It talks about Volusia County, Florida. The auditor came in and said, we need an explanation for the negative 16,000 votes. Well, the head programmer said, basically what happened is another set of votes got uploaded after the first set. And they can't explain why, but and nothing changed on any race except for the presidential, in which Gore's votes changed. And they seem to have lost this extra set of votes cards, but he said, now be careful what you say. This is in his memo. You never know when the boogeyman is listening or watching. Now, I think we've got pretty good evidence in those memos that something bad happened in Volusia County to the tune of 16,022 votes that was caused by an illicit upload of voting results into a voting machine, and it was only caught because of a county clerk.
Makes
so
sure.
How many happened we didn't see?
Sure. You know, even if we lay off all of this stuff to improperly programmed computers or electronic mistakes, even if we do that and say there is no concerted effort here to continue to steal elections and to screw with the totals of American voters, it still leaves us with the reality, if that is the case, then what the hell are we doing thinking about using electronic voting machines?
Well, we need to pull the plug. Actually, no. You know, electronic voting machines, if they're like Avante's machines where you have they kick out a paper trail.
Sure.
That's actually a good thing.
That's fine.
Because then you can read them. You don't have this problem that the, you know, voters are scribbling on them or whatever they claim we do. And they're good for the disabled and so forth. Yeah, that's fine. The problem is, why are we using unauditable machines? And why are we using optical scan machines, which have paper, and refusing to let anyone audit them by using the paper? You're not allowed by law to look at the paper. And in at least in Nebraska, Georgia, and Arizona, the legal vote is only the electronic vote. That paper vote is not the legal vote.
Wow.
Now, this is really getting strange. It's getting more and more surreal. I can tell you, California, I am putting an open request out for somebody in California to come forward and contact me. Don't tell me, here's a lawyer you should call. I don't have time to call every lawyer in California. I need a lawyer with some guts who's going to go and get an injunction to pull the plug on the Diebold machines, which are going to be used in 14 counties. We now have a report, which is actually a flawed report in that it's incomplete. But the SAIC report that just came out on the Diebold machines identified 328 security flaws, 26 of which it called critical, and Diebold said it's not going to fix those flaws in California before the election. And by the way, this includes Los Angeles and some very large metro areas, Oakland. What I want to know is why a civil rights lawyer hasn't come forward and said, how dare you force voters in 14 counties to vote on flawed, tamper-friendly machines? And do you know, I have been on the phone all week, and I can't get a law firm to quit passing the ball to other places. Oh, you should call the ACLU. You should do this. You should do that.
Oh my God. Guess what?
Somebody needs to come forward and get this in court, get some people under oath, get these memos in front of folks. And it will all unravel within, it would take 1 hour to make this case. Mm-hmm. It's that clear. But we can't find a lawyer who has the guts.
Well, that raises the question, why? Out of all the law firms in the state of California?
You have the most surreal conversations with these guys where they say, well, you should call this and you should call this.
Right.
And I finally talked to an attorney today with the University of Berkeley. They've got a clinic there. And I said, here's the deal. I'm doing my part. You know the lawyers. Pick up the phone and make that call for me. If this is not your type of law that you practice, pick up the phone. Call one of your friends. Tell them, hey, I have someone you need to talk to. And she says, well, I understand how you feel, but it's not my and I'm like, you know what? Then throw away your vote. Just say hereby say I waive my right to vote from now on, because if you are an attorney and you're doing this little pass the buck thing, get in there like the rest of us citizens, make some phone calls, find someone, because you are telling, because it's the attorney's fault right now if they are not taking this in. You are telling citizens in 14 counties that they must vote on flawed machines, and we know they're flawed. It came out in the Hopkins Rice report. It came out in my work, and now it's come out in the SAIC report. We know they can be tampered with. Why are we making citizens vote on these? So there's my rant.
Well, can you hold on a second?
Sure.
All right, we got to do a break here. We're talking with Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org, among other things, who is struggling to make sure that representative democracy in this country continues. The fact that none of these public interest law firms or private law firms will assist her in California just brings in sharp focus that idea that we're going to lose it because nobody is willing to fight.
States' rights is worth that much fun. Don't you hate that crap? They just keep lying all the time. They just keep lying all the time.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Boy, I can't believe I didn't do it. I really missed the boat. Interest rates were at historic lows. I knew the economy was turning around. I could have called General Steel and saved a ton of money on the building I needed, and I'd be ready for the new economy. Yep, I really blew it.
Will this be you? Perhaps a year from now. Let General Steel Corporation show you how to take advantage of this unique moment in history. A steel building from the General will save you time and money compared to conventional construction. And you can hold your building delivery for up to 1 year with a small deposit. Small business owners know that now is the best time to build and prepare for the new economy. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $15,000 or 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need manufacturing or warehouse space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. This moment in history won't last forever. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Time to take another peek into the lifestyles of the rich and cranky. There's so much attention these days on the new rich, those hotshots who became overnight millionaires, that we too often overlook the old rich who lived generation after generation on some fortune amassed in the distant foggy past by great-great-great-great-great-grandfather greed. How are they doing? Not so well, according to the Earl of Sandwich, scion of one of Britain's most upper-crust families. There's no real security in being from an old family anymore, says the Earl ruefully. What with the skyrocketing costs of maintaining mansions, keeping servants, and whatnot, even some of the landed gentry find it hard to make ends meet. I know you can feel their pain. Snicker if you will, but the Earl, who is the 11th in the royal line of sandwiches, is a serious chap. He's in the House of Lords, and is the latest in a continuous line of sandwiches to serve in the Parliament since the 1660s. The most famous, of course, was Earl the Fourth, who allegedly invented the sandwich during an all-night gambling session. Refusing to break for dinner, he slapped a chunk of meat between two bread slices and voila, the rest is culinary history. But you can't eat history, and alas, today's sandwich family needs to make a living. So, in an entrepreneurial burst, the 11th Earl recently decided, Eureka, we'll start a sandwich business. He notes that he has long been bothered by the poor quality of British sandwiches. The food, not the family. And who better than he to set a proper standard? Hence, a new line of fresh packaged sandwiches, upscale of course, bearing the family name and crest on the package. He's even planning an Earl of Sandwich Cafe in Disney World. How appropriate. This is Jim Hightower saying, it just shows you can't keep a good sandwich down. But I don't think that'd make a good marketing slogan.
ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
We're talking to Beth Harris, blackboxvoting.org, who is struggling for the salvation, my word, Beth, of representative democracy in this country. Hey, you want to take a couple of questions from people?
Sure.
Okay, let's bring a few folks in here. Anthony is calling from Fort Worth, Texas. Anthony, say hi to Beth Harris.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hey, I didn't have so much of a question as just a comment. I received a letter from the Republican Party of Texas the other day, and I thought it was interesting. I don't know how I got on their list, but I'm not a Republican, but it's an offer for me to join, and it's to help them fund and manage the Texas Voter Integrity Program, which I thought was pretty interesting. And it makes me wonder, you know, as I'm learning about these voter issues, with, you know, that inevitably there's going to be some challenges in the courts, and I'm thinking that they're having a little bit of foresight here and trying to, because their idea is to sort of build a they have three parts of their plan: build a response team, develop a blueprint, and create a war chest. And it's all
well. This is all about fundraising, though, isn't it, Bev? Wouldn't you think? I mean, this is a way to jerk citizens, in this case of Texas, around, make them think they're going to participate in something vital, and really what they want is your money.
Well, I'm not sure what this particular one is for, but most of the ones we've looked up end up getting quite a bit of, well, first of all, you know, a voter integrity program, that's all nice. All we really are asking for is, can we audit the machines? You know, it seems like we have so many other red herrings here, and all we're asking for is to audit the machines. And every time they come up with something like that, what I think is the amazing Randy, don't look there, look here. Look at the voter integrity program, but don't look at auditing these machines. We need to know if they counted right, that's all. And it's a simple thing. Give us a ballot, compare the ballot with what the machine says. And you cannot believe, the voter integrity thing may be good, maybe not, but it's not the highest priority. I'll tell you that. The highest priority is to get an audit trail and to, you know, I can't tell you, we've had cryptography solutions presented. We've had all kinds of different things that are going to, but it's always, don't look there, look here.
Yeah.
What we really need is just audit the things. It's simple. Why the fight?
Yeah, Anthony, does that get it for you?
Yeah, I just wanted to make the comment.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Anthony. I appreciate you checking in. Sheng is calling from Levittown, PA. Sheng, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing fine.
Hi, I'm a computer programmer myself, and I've been working in IT for almost 10 years now. This whole thing is just so bad on so many levels. I read the recent article in Salon that you gave, Ms. Harris.
Right.
And the fact they're using a Microsoft Access database for this is just ridiculous.
With all the security functions disabled.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Access has, you know, hardly any security as it is, but at least enable the password, you know. No referential integrity. It's right. Insane. But, I mean, even if they were to go and fix all these things, it's still not going to stop somebody from coming in who has proper access. You know,
right.
If they put it, like, on a SQL server, and going in and running a SQL script, disabling the constraints, and then just updating a slew of records
right.
at once. It's insane.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and here again, it's like we're going through all of these things, and we need to be able to check the results.
It's
you're exactly right. And the referential integrity, while it's a word that's not, you know, what you necessarily want to bring out on radio and TV all the time because people don't know what you're talking about, it's so important, because basically when you drop that out, you pretty much guarantee you're going to have errors.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Sheng, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Bev, can you stick around again?
Sure.
All right, we've got a quick break here, and we'll come back, because we have more people that have some questions or comments for you, and also a couple other things I wanted to bring up. So stick around, all right? We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Those black robes couldn't hide your Bush T-shirt there inside. You made the man with a fewer votes win. Congratulations, George. Well, it's all bought and paid for. The history books will have to write you in. Well, maybe you could pass a law so the rest of us can all see how the man with fewer votes wins. Yeah, you want it fair and square with 100.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The North America encountered by Lewis and Clark 200 years ago was a land of unimaginable abundance. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. When Lewis and Clark set out on their westward expedition in 1804, one of the questions they sought to answer was, what kind of place was the Great Plains? Gary Moulton is the editor of the Lewis and Clark journals. He says people in the East had heard a variety of descriptions of the western grasslands.
Was it the Great American Desert, or was it the garden in the wilderness? And Lewis and Clark came back with a garden image of the Great Plains because of the abundance of wildlife.
Moulton says Lewis and Clark made note of the low rainfall, lack of trees, and short grasses, but they were stunned by the animals.
Often they talked about the great herds of buffalo and elk and deer. You know, buffalo that they would have to sort of knock out of the way to get by them.
They also describe a Missouri River teeming with mussels and fish.
They were amazed with the number of fish they were catching. Sometimes they'd put out a net and haul in 300, 800 fish at a time. So the abundance of the country was just something that really caught their attention.
Moulton says that abundance fell off as the expedition entered the Rocky Mountains, where game was scarce.
Our conception is always the plains as sort of boring, monotonous landscape, whereas the mountains are beautiful and scenic and prosperous. For Lewis and Clark, there was almost entirely the different attitude. The plains were the place of abundance.
That's historian Gary Moulton, editor of the Lewis and Clark journals. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. We're talking with Bev Harris, who has joined us from Seattle, the author of Black Box Voting. There was something, before I go back to the calls, Bev, something, another one of these anomalies or discrepancies or examples of fraud, and that was the Texas-sized lack of curiosity about this uncanny coincidence of three winning Republican candidates in a row tallying up exactly 18,181 votes each. It was called weird, but apparently no one thought it was weird enough to audit. And my colleague on this network, Tom Hartman, converted that to letters, 18181, three times, and it comes out to aha, 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 aha.
Yes, it certainly does, doesn't it?
it makes you wonder if these people have a macabre humor as they try to destroy of voting in this country. Let me just go back to the calls here. Andy is calling from Seattle. You got a question for Bev, Andy?
Oh, I just want to say hi, Bev. How you doing?
Andy.
How are you, my dear?
He's one of our activists. He's great.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I wanted to just I promise not to call tonight, but I think I have an attorney for us, so I will PM you later. And I just wanted to say, keep up the good work. I'm totally 100% behind what you're doing, and you are a true patriot, Bev.
No, there's no question about that.
I would like to say for a minute too. Andy is one of the people who's gotten a lot of information behind the scenes for us. There's some people who are not well-known in terms of their names, but they've been just great at finding good, solid information that checks out. And he's one of the ones who's fed us a lot of stuff.
Well,
good stuff.
Well, good, Andy. Glad to hear. Isn't that the way it always works, though?
Yes.
When you're trying to expose the little man behind the curtain, it does take...
Yeah, the underbelly.
That's right. It does take people who are willing to work in that anonymity, but on whose labor rests so much of this.
Right.
So that the... Andy, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. An email here from Scott, a question for you, Bev. Scott writes, what would the ramifications be if, in an act of civil disobedience, we go into our polling places in November 04 and all across the country pull the plug on the voting machines? Would the election be invalid? Would we get a mulligan with paper ballots? Would we all get a free trip to Guantanamo? People run the country, even with all the politicians getting in our way. I know you don't recommend any of that, but he makes some interesting points, Scott.
Well, you know, along those lines, they seem to have foreseen that. Do you know they're putting new laws on the book that make special laws and special misdemeanors for people who interfere with voting with an electronic machine? And here's what's so odd. I could see having a law that says if you interfere with voting, there's a problem. But why do they make it only interfering with an electronic voting machine? Now, I think they foresee some problems.
Well, Scott, there's your answer. Oh, my God. Rob is calling from Washington, D.C. Rob, say hi to Bev.
Hello there.
Hi, Rob.
I've pre-ordered your book, and I'm waiting for all the new stuff to be finished so we can get a copy.
Oh, yes. It's coming. I actually got some more stuff off to the publisher today, and it's killer.
Yep. When is, you know, I haven't even mentioned that. When is your book due out?
It was due out on the 4th of July, but what's
right.
happened is quite a few, as everyone knows, revelations have happened since then. And it seems like just as we're putting it to bed, it'll be something so important. Really, the most important that's happened to date is the exposure of the Diebold memos, because the Diebold memos are internal confessions, if you will. They're evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And they are evidence of a pattern of lawbreaking that goes back at least to 1999 and probably before then.
Mm-hmm.
Over 400 memos that have basically all the information that's needed to put it in front of a judge and say, let's make a decision.
And that's going to, obviously, that's going to be included.
And that's, of course, why, yes, that is.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, why my website was shut down. Not because I had them all on it, but because there was a link on the website that led to a site where people could read these memos. The memos are so devastating, they could not allow that to stand.
Wow, yeah. Well, that makes sense. Rob, anything else for Beth?
Well, yes. I think also of probably of also great importance was the Johns Hopkins study on the machines, because it was really an independent analysis that's created a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually on the weekend studying computers at Johns Hopkins and been spending a lot of time looking into this, and I've been amazed at the number of ways in which it seems that both the hardware and the software for these systems has been made in a way that was obsolete 5 years ago, 10 years ago in some instances. You know, there's no basic use of encryption in order to protect the data that goes back and forth between the machines and between, you know, central areas and the Internet. The way the smart cards are designed, which is what you would use to vote with, there's no encryption on those. So basically anybody with a card reader and software that they can download off of the Internet can program a stack of cards or a single card to break in and vote multiple times.
Dear God.
And from what I understand, according to the Hopkins study, they used a computer language that's considered to be totally unsafe, and makes it very easy for people to attack the system, whether they're a poll worker, whether they're an internet service provider, or whether they're just somebody on the internet. They can intercept the data going back and forth. They can break into the files and alter them in ways that are almost undetectable. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
Good.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let me tell you, the Hopkins report actually only looked at about 5% of it. When you look at the rest, one of the things we found in the memos that was really disturbing was that they had learned how to intercept and transmit vote data by cell phone.
Mm.
Now, I can tell you that that's not certified or approved anywhere, but there are a series of memos. It starts in Puerto Rico, and it's actually from techs that are quite sincere and well-meaning. They're thinking, you know, these modems are kind of buggy. Sometimes they don't work, so maybe if we can do it this way, then we could make sure nothing bad happens. Of course, what they don't understand is if you can do that, maybe other people can too.
pretty incredible.
Yeah,
Rob, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you.
All right. Bev, somebody sent this to me. Maryland, what Maryland's governor says, are you familiar with this? Maryland proceeds, Maryland state proceeds with voting machine installation. And it says here, the first sentence, upon the recommendation of the Maryland Department of Budget and Management, Governor Robert Ehrlich Jr. today authorized the State Board of Elections to proceed with the statewide installation of the Diebold AccuVote TS electronic voting machine. Governor Ehrlich reached his decision, and this is in boldface, after reviewing a positive independent analysis of the Diebold machine and its source code. What
do you... It is astonishing. You know, it's like... They haven't even made the supposed corrections that they're supposed to make, which, by the way, a computer scientist last night, a bunch of them got together and looked at this report, and they found that of the 12 problems identified by the Hopkins report, it only solved 4 of them, and that was only if Diebold did it, and there's no way to prove whether Diebold did it or not. This is just irresponsible. It is taking, I cannot tell you, I've seen this stuff, and I've seen what they're doing, and we are taking citizens' civil rights and just throwing them away and saying, well, we're just going to do this insecure system anyway. Trust us. It's okay. Well, they've been saying that for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying, trust us. And look what happens when we first get a hold of this stuff and actually look at it. It's Swiss cheese. It is so flawed that a 10-year-old can get in there and rig the election.
Thank God your book is coming out in time for people to read it before the next election, which brings me to this question. Does it even matter who we vote for as long as Diebold software apparently is going to throw it to Republicans or to W? Look what the guy in Ohio said. right?
He's committed to delivering the votes, and he runs the voting machine company. Now, how do you do that?
Yeah.
That was probably not the best thing to do. And remember, he didn't just say it; he wrote it.
What is your prediction for 2004?
I have no idea, Mike. I've thought about this, and I thought, you know, what if we actually prevail in this voting machine situation? In a sense, my goodness, what if they can't use the voting machines?
But what if
to get in?
But
what will they do then?
But what if your research and your uncovering of facts and information is ignored, and all the states, all the districts that are going to use these machines, go ahead and install them and use them?
Oh, it's happening right now. They're just. Here's what's so interesting. Your caller mentioned this devastating Hopkins report.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know that that report came out, and 2 days later, San Diego County made a $31 million purchase for exactly the machines that were exposed by the Hopkins report?
Oh my God.
I mean, how do politicians usually work? Usually they say, well, you know, we need to make a study group then. You know,
right.
It's not like they're necessarily so brave as to come out and take a stand. But it's extremely unusual that when something like that comes out that they immediately run out and cash it, you know, and spend $31 million of our money
mm-hmm.
to go buy something that just got exposed as flawed. So I have to say, they are steamrolling right on
mm-hmm.
with this.
Mm-hmm.
That is what they're doing.
Kip is calling from Santa Fe. Kip, welcome to the program. Say hi to Bev.
Yeah, hi, Bev. Hi, Mike. Good to catch you in the evening. I don't do it as often as I did in the daytime, but you're still... Same stalwart guy you were.
Thanks a lot, Kip.
Listen, a couple of questions. I missed the intro tonight. Is there any bona fide or viable kind of work being done in those against this problem in those states you named a little while ago that went so suddenly and unpredictably for Bush as a result, apparently, of this fraud, and then I have another question after that, please.
Well, work's being done, but this is what we are at the stage of now is we've got to get in front of a judge. We're at the stage. We've got the, you know, my publisher was saying, you know, we're at the stage now where we're virtually, you know, we've got Wally O'Dell, the CEO, basically in a bag, tied up, you know, with a note pinned to his chest saying that these things are riggable. Can we please get a judge? I will tell you the most frustrating thing I'm facing this week is I have 65,000 documents that have been sent to me. 65,000. They are not a gray area. And what happens is I can't seem to find any law enforcement agency that wants to deal with these.
Yeah, I heard you.
Lawyers are running the other direction. And, you know, we have Mike Malloy here, but many people in the press are running the other direction.
Yeah.
And I'm going, you know, I'm a 52-year-old grandmother sitting here going, can somebody please take these off my hands? They're getting heavy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm a 78-year-old grandfather, but and I'm fed up and I'm mad as hell about this. But I can't help you legally. But what about somebody like the first one is a serious question. The second name is obviously a farce. But what about somebody like Fred Wertheimer and Common Cause? Are they in on this in any way?
Common Cause is on the other side of the issue, if you can believe it. They want the unauditable machines.
No, that doesn't seem right.
It's strange, and I think what they've
done... Do you have any explanation for that?
Yeah, I'm figuring this out. I think they have actually bought off some of the top people. Now, by bought off, I don't mean bribe, but I mean made very large contributions, which are not disclosed on their nonprofit forms.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding with League of Women Voters, which has the same issue, where they've signed off against these this paper trail, is that the local chapters are absolutely not on board with the national chapter. The local chapters want to do it right, and the national chapter is an obstacle. And I think that's the case with a few of these things. The Leadership Council for Civil Rights did the same thing, but their members were so angry that they ended up having to retract their statement.
This is, you know, I didn't know that. This is astonishing. A Common Cause is on the other side?
So is the ACLU. It's you feel like you're, you know, Alice in Wonderland, you know,
well,
tripping
maybe
down the rabbit hole.
Oh, maybe my second question isn't so dumb after all, but where does John Ashcroft come in on all of this?
Oh.
Well, you know, I have no idea, but I wouldn't probably want to go to him and offer him my 65,000 documents.
No, he'll disappear.
You'd want to make copies first.
Yeah, several. Kip, thanks, Kip. I appreciate you checking in. Pat is calling from Felton, California. Pat, welcome to the program. Say hi to Bev.
Hi, Bev.
Hi, Pat.
I just wanted to bring up a few more little things to give some people an idea of what kind of a problem Diebold thinks they're in. Apparently, Eric J. Ruda, R-O-O-R-D-A.
One of their directors.
Mm-hmm. One of their directors just seems to have dumped, what's the figure we have here? $32,433,128 worth of shares in his own company between August 12th and August 19th. What's that tell you?
Oh, maybe that's a good thing.
Well, the insider trading is really showing a pattern. They are selling, not buying, folks.
If anybody wants to know just how bad the situation is, just go to Diebold's website, look up the names of the board, then go to the either the FEC website, the Federal Elections Commission, or to opensecrets.org and look up those names. However, you have to be really careful about how you look the names up because they tend to misspell things, and you don't catch all the donations unless you do a methodical search by last name first, find the address and phone number that go with the people that you can match up, and then do it by address, and then do it by zip code, and do it by...
What he's saying is they try to camouflage how much they're giving. Isn't that what you're saying, Pat?
That's
in other
I'm
words,
saying.
Sometimes I'm Wally, and sometimes I'm Wale, and sometimes I'm Odell, and sometimes I'm Udell.
Right.
It's amazing. It took me weeks just to go through and find as many as I could, and I'm sure there's still more out there.
And they're giving to Republicans is basically what the bottom line is.
Oh, gee, there's a surprise. Hey, Pat, thank you.
Oh, anytime.
All right, I appreciate you checking in. Alan is calling from Minneapolis. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks.
Hey. Go ahead. Say hi to Bev.
Yeah. Hi, Bev.
Hi.
Hey, I got a comment and a question. I know there's a lot of talk about the problems with the software, particularly the proprietary software, which needs to go through the so-called certification phase. And and you have to go all through all this trouble of making sure that the proper software is on the computer, and they didn't, and the state didn't, for some reason, put non-certified software on their computers or on the voting machines. But it seems if we just, and then you've also talked, I think, correctly, that these machines need a paper trail so that each person's vote is printed out, put into a ballot box, and you can count those if there's a dispute.
Hey, we got to take a break here. Alan, can you get the question out in about 20 seconds, and then Bev can answer when we come back?
I will. I'd like to see more talk about using a paper ballot as the ballot of record,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, you can combine that with optical scan if you have appropriate random audits, so that you can ensure that the optical scan machines are accurate. And if you have good random audits, you don't even need to know what software's on it, because the audit will prove or will catch if fraud is attempted.
Okay, let me put you on hold a second, and Bev on hold. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
There's really no need for them.
Midterm elections.
The voters just ignore them.
So just remember this November that your vote will count.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You'll be seeing a lot of changes around here.
The new week.
weekend programming lineup is more entertaining than ever. Kicking off Saturday mornings with Doug Steffens' Talk Radio Countdown, followed by Bobby Likas' Car Clinic. Then Saturdays are brightened with the informative antics of Animal Talk, followed by the home improvement experts on Home Improvement USA. If you've been wondering about that old so-called junk, then you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent, followed by Talking Pets with John Patch. Learn your job rights on Sunday mornings with the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. And the latest in the world of technology on Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Ramblin' with Ramsey will fill you into the hot spots to travel, followed by the second installment of the funniest live animal talk show, Animal Talk.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
For more information on these shows or other shows on IE America Radio Network, call 1-800-397-8255. But for now, listen to us live on IEAmericaRadio.com.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
It's about five before the hour. Beth, do you remember Andy's question?
Oh, my goodness. It's been a minute. Oh, no. Can you help me?
I'm trying to. I'm sitting here trying to
Andy,
shuffle.
It was a good one, too.
I'm trying to shuffle through the emails.
Oh, he was talking about a paper trail. Can we talk about a paper trail?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's he's that's where it's at. That's where it's at. Just two things we're looking for. The voter verified ballot and compare it against the machine. And there's a reason for this. It's real simple. It's called an audit, and what an audit is, by definition, is you take two different sets of data, you know, independent sets of data, match them up, and they should match.
Right.
So, in other words, the computer is, you know, ticking away doing its count, and then if the voter has also verified all these ballots, they ought to match.
Mm-hmm.
There's a concept.
Mm-hmm.
And if they match, it's pretty hard. Now, you can rig, actually, even a paper system. There's things to do. It's much harder. I mean, you have to go around all these different little polling places and do it, and it's kind of not very convenient to do it as much as it would be to, for example, hack into a central count system.
Right.
But the techniques for rigging a paper system are completely different than the techniques for rigging a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have to have a much greater arsenal of techniques, and it would become incredibly harder to do. So, yeah, all we're really talking about is get the voter-verified ballot, compare it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Not anything too complicated. And guess what? They already make touchscreen machines with a paper trail. It's just that we're not forcing our people to buy them.
Yeah.
And they already have an optical scan with a paper trail. It's just that we are passing laws to say we can't check what's on the paper trail.
Oh, my
God. It's pretty simple. And the fact that they're going through all these amazing amounts of money and gymnastics and marketing just to avoid this is what really makes me suspicious.
Yeah, I would think. Bev, we're just about out of time. We need to not let so much time go by in having you on this program. As a matter of fact, maybe within the next a couple of weeks or several weeks, we can get you back on.
Great.
Because
I would love it.
I'm leaving about four people here on the phone who have questions for you, and a whole sheath of email questions have come in, and we just need to talk again. I know your schedule is really heavy.
I'll always make time for you, Mike.
Well, thank you. Kathy will get in touch, and we'll try to do this again within the next 4 or 5 weeks, if that's okay.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks, Mike.
Bev, thank you. God only knows that I think a time's going to come when, I don't mean to get too weird here, but I think when most Americans are going to thank you for what you've done. Do take care, and don't fly on any small planes, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right, Bev, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
All right, you take care. Bev Harris, of course, is the originator of blackboxvoting.org, now.com. She joined us from Seattle. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Look, if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate you, Don.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan is alarmed about the volatile situation in the Middle East. Annan says all sides must recognize the importance of a peace plan.
I would like to take this opportunity to remind the government of Israel and the Palestinian Authority and the entire international community that the only alternative to this two-state solution is long-term conflict and instability.
Secretary of State Colin Powell said the U.S. will continue to play the role of an open and honest broker to help achieve the goals of the roadmap to peace. The U.S.-backed roadmap calls for creation of a permanent Palestinian state and new security guarantees for Israel. Secretary Powell said the roadmap can only be achieved when there is an end to terrorist activity. The case against a former Detroit man accused of spying at the Guantanamo Bay Cuba prison for al-Qaeda and Taliban suspects has sparked a large-scale probe. A military spokesman tells the Detroit Free Press an investigation is underway into all service branches and military posts worldwide. Air Force translator Ahmad Al-Halabi is charged with espionage for allegedly passing information from prisoners to unnamed sources in Syria. Three servicemen are currently under watch for alleged security breaches. The military says more suspects may be forthcoming. Northwest Airlines is laying off fewer pilots than expected this fall. The nation's fourth largest carrier and the pilots union say 150 fewer captains will lose their jobs because of an unexpected surge in early retirements. As a result, only about 40 Northwest pilots are being furloughed this month and next. A Northwest spokesman says the change doesn't reflect any improvement in the business outlook.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
The British rocker, known for his music videos featuring women with slicked back hair, tight dresses, and guitars, is dead. Robert Palmer was visiting Paris after a recording session in London when he died from an apparent heart attack. He was 54. British soul singer Seal says Palmer was a gentle, warm-hearted human being.
I was completely amazed by his diversity and his unique approach to songwriting and to singing. And then I had the great privilege and honor to work with him about 7 years ago.
Palmer gained notoriety in the 80s with hits such as Simply Irresistible and Addicted to Love. Born in Yorkshire, England, as Alan Palmer, he was influenced early in his life by artists like Lena Horne and Nat King Cole. Critics have described Palmer's latest album, Drive, as a fusion of R&B, Bahamian, and Caribbean rhythms.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Writer and actor George Plimpton has died in New York. Longtime friend and agent Fifi Oscard says Plimpton will be missed.
A more valued friend you couldn't imagine anywhere. He was, for me, the most intimidatingly charming person I'd ever met. Maybe he's going to write a book about this, bearing in mind that every big experience he had, he turned into a fascinating book.
Plimpton appeared in films such as Good Will Hunting and Little Man Tate. He even played himself on an episode of The Simpsons. He started his writing career as a sports writer, eventually becoming the editor of the Paris Review. Plimpton was 76 years old. It was a down day on Wall Street. The Dow was off 31 points to 93.13. The Nasdaq fell 25 to 17.92. The S&P 500 fell below the 1,000 mark. It was off 6 to finish at 9.97. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. The other night on Fox News, right after Britt Hume sobered up enough to continue his discussion with Too Stupid to Be President, Britt asked W how often he prayed. He then asked, Mr. President, when things go badly, as many people would feel they have been in Iraq, with the continuing casualties and struggles and difficulties, do you ever doubt?
I don't think they're going badly. I mean, obviously, I think they're going badly for the soldier who lost their life, and I weep for that person and their family. But, no, I think we're making good progress.
I think they're going badly for the soldiers who lost their lives. The contempt that this man shows for our military and, greater than that, for human life is astonishing. Daryl is calling from Detroit, our bureau chief there. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Mike.
I'm sorry we couldn't get you on for a question for Bev.
That's okay, Mike. Actually, the question is probably something that's going to be an open-ended one for people out there. I don't know that she would have that off the top of her tip of her tongue. Before I ask that, though, I wanted to congratulate you on getting finally a signal into Michigan.
Yeah, Ypsilanti.
Unfortunately.
Well, we're carried, I think, by two stations in Petoskey, Michigan. I think they only carry the last 2 hours or something, but that's as far away as, I mean, that's further north. That's halfway across Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
When you stop it's to think about it, it's no. way up there.
Way up there, yeah.
You can't pick up the Ypsilanti station, I take it.
Well, I do when I'm out closer that way. And I did have the pleasure of hearing you live on radio for the first time in my life.
Wasn't that freaky?
Been talking for years now.
Wasn't that freaky?
That was. Hey, I know that voice.
Right.
One of the things I'm wondering about, and this open question, maybe some of the other listeners might know the answers to, is whether or not any of the organizations that have taken what we would expect to be what we would call the wrong position on these voter verification moves have, in fact, relegated their decisions to technical groups that have been infiltrated or were just not competent in the question. In other words, I'm wondering if any of the people are asking, how did you get to this assessment? How did you come here, you know, get to this point where you're saying, we don't need this. Mm-hmm. We think that it is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do know the tortured logic argument that says, you know, if we force people to actually use machines that do this, that, and whatever,
right,
it'll be longer before accuracies within minority communities or whatever community is actually improved,
mm-hmm,
and that it's a delay and an unnecessary delay.
Right.
Kind of like the, I don't know why the court reversed its position out there in California, but I thought the argument was a pretty good argument, that mm-hmm, there was a disparity in the voting, and this was a delay, a simple delay in voting, not a cancellation of an election,
mm-hmm,
and people would have had a chance to express their views and their will.
Well, I think the ruling by the full circuit court out there was based on the California state constitution, which makes no provision for delaying a recall of a governor based upon the question of faulty voting machines, punch card voting in this instance.
Yeah.
So you know, that's but you would think, based on what the U.S. Supreme Court said, where it concerns Bush v. Gore in Florida, that the Ninth Circuit would have said, let's postpone it until March 9th.
Now, I'm wondering also if whether they thought, okay, we will rule against, but we know that the other argument can be taken up at a federal level,
So
we expect that the appeal is going to go from the ACLU to the federal level.
Well, the Ninth Circuit was a federal level. The only place the ACLU could take it would be the U.S. Supreme Court.
I'm sorry, the Supreme Court.
Right, and I don't think the ACLU notified the world right after that ruling by the full Ninth that they weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason was a reason of cost, a reason of money.
Yeah.
It's my understanding that it costs just a truckload of money to take a case before the United States Supreme Court.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but what Bev said, that the ACLU and Common Cause are on the other side of this black box or this electronic voting issue, that shocked the hell out of me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've seen early on reports. This is months and months ago, and they had positions on web pages, et cetera, that were articulating why they were thinking that it was okay to go to this electronic voting. And anybody who knows anything about technology,
mm-hmm,
I mean, I'm a technology freak, but I know this is very vulnerable. It's like going to entirely wireless phones in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And when the power goes out, if you don't have one of those old phones, you don't have a phone service. And I think we can step on a ledge of reliance and belief in an infallibility,
mm-hmm,
of electronics.
Right.
And when they are not verifiable, and we can have systems that just go crazy.
Right, and I think that was a point Bev was making. She's not, and I don't think anybody who understands that technology keeps moving in one direction ahead, I don't think anybody is inherently against electronic voting if it is done right, if it is done in a verifiable way, if it is done on secure system programs, if it is done with a paper trail to back it up. Who would complain? But that's not what's being done. And and that's what she is bringing out, or was bringing out on her website, and is bringing out in her book. And that's the part that just scares the hell out of me. I didn't know anything about this until, you know, what, about a year ago when all this stuff, when she first set up her site, when she, a private citizen, starts checking this stuff out, and at this point can't get any a public interest law firm or private law firm to handle these documents. Like she said, all it would take would be 30 minutes in front of a judge. It's astonishing. Daryl, I don't know. I don't know what the hell is happening.
I wonder if some law school student is looking for a project, for a thesis, a term, or whatever, and might be actually leading a small group of students who would say, this is an interesting, novel case.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can take it forward.
Yeah, I hear
you. Just to put a bug in somebody's ear, heck, I don't know anything about the law.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be nice if some high-powered law firm that had deep pockets would do that and not a student? You know, I'm reminded what happened in Chicago when I lived up there, when journalism students at Northwestern were responsible for the freeing of 10, ultimately 10 or 12 people on death row. who had been unjustly accused and convicted. These are not people freed on technicalities. These are people freed because they were innocent. And it was students in a damn journalism class. Bless their hearts, but dear God, is that where we are now? That students have to do this? Law students, journalism students, medical students, students in environmental classes, because the adults in this country don't have the courage or the decency? God, Daryl, I don't know, man.
I'll cast a net. We need whatever help we can get. So if the words mobilize anybody, whether they're rich law firm or a student group or whatever, I wouldn't know how to begin to do this.
I know.
All I can say is agitation and continued awareness, and this being on the front page of things,
that's right,
will help somebody be able to pick up the gauntlet.
There you go. Thanks, okay. Daryl. All right, man. I appreciate you checking in. All right. Very quickly here, I'm going to give you the trivia question, and the two winners who come up with this will get a copy of... a signed copy of our IE America colleague Tom Hartman's book, Unequal Protection. Okay? Last month, in an effort to sell its voting machines to the state of Ohio, Diebold CEO Walden O'Dell pledged that he is committed to doing which of the following things before the 2004 presidential election? Is it A, I am committed to improving the security and encryption of Diebold voting machine software so that the Ohio election results will be 100% accurate? Is it B, I am committed to helping Ohio deliver its votes to President George Bush next year? Is it C, I am committed to two states, Ohio and Indiana, living side by side in peace and in security? All right, there's your question. All right? Walden O'Dell, Diebold CEO, pledged that he is committed to doing which of the following things? A, committed to improving the security and encryption of Diebold voting machine software so the Ohio election results will be 100% accurate. B, committed to helping Ohio deliver its votes to Bush next year. C, committed to two states, Ohio and Indiana, living side by side in peace and in security. All right? That's a real tough one, isn't it? Okay. Armin is calling from Bradenton. Don't give the answer. Kathy tells me you have the answer, but you're the first one, and we need one more, okay? Now,
okay.
What you really called about is...
Well, you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
For all practical purposes, do you think CNN and Fox Media are run by contemporary criminal enterprises?
I think Fox is a politically criminal enterprise. As far as CNN, it's part of, you know, when Ted Turner ran it, no. When it was bought up by Time Warner, when he sold it to Time Warner, that raises some questions. When AOL got in on the game, that raised further questions. I don't know if you'd call it a criminal enterprise, but they're certainly not interested, the overseers, the slave masters of CNN, they're not interested in getting out the truth unvarnished and balanced. All you have to do is spend one day watching CNN to come to that conclusion.
Well, I was in a bookstore earlier this evening, and they had a TV on, and I heard it, you know, it was CNN.
Yeah.
And listen to this spin that they're putting on this in California. Okay, Gray Davis came out today, and he he knew that he had to do something, so, or knows that he has to do something, so he went public and challenged
Schwarzenegger to a debate, right?
Steroid Schwarzenegger
right.
to a debate. And
which, by the way, Schwarzenegger's turned down.
Right. And CNN's putting a spin on it that could hurt Davis for doing that. Can you believe that?
I don't know what genius came up with that, but...
I'm sorry for interrupting you, but go ahead.
No, that's all I was going to say.
Well, I mean, this is how Orwellian these liars have become in the media.
I hear you.
I want to say one other thing real quick.
Quick.
You know, why don't they give equal time to the voters in California about the Bush, Kenneth Lay, and Enron connection with the Republican Party and running their economy? Why don't they give the same amount of time to that before this election that's coming up out there?
Wouldn't that be nice if they did that? But that would be journalistic integrity and responsibility, Armand, and I don't think that exists anymore. Armand, stay on hold. I'm going to put you on hold. Kathy's going to get your address so we can get you your book. Quick break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The unacceptable, the pious and the hip, so hypocritical, high crimes and misdemeanors, high crimes and misdemeanors, high crimes and misdemeanors.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817 for Washington Monthly.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show. Jody in Arlington Heights, she says, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear Malloy program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, when he does that.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Right after the next break, we're going to have Simple Scotty McClellan at the press briefing today. You got to hear this. You got if you have the stomach for it. You may not have the stomach for it. If you hear the first couple and then just go, I can't do this, and log off, I understand. But, you know, at least try. Alan is calling from New Jersey, and I understand, Alan, you're the second trivia question. Well, that was a really hard question, wasn't it?
Boy, I'll tell you what. It about killed me.
Really had to put on your thinking cap. This is not your first time calling. No, it isn't.
Oh, by no stretch.
No. I'm sorry. I'm looking at something else here.
Okay. I got three stories for you. First off, as pertains to the electronic voting thing.
Yeah.
There is an open, you know what open source is, right?
Yes.
Linux.
Right, it's out there. Anybody
peer
can, right.
Review of code.
Right.
That sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
There is a project on sourceforge.net, which is like the center of the universe for open source, called EVM 2003, an open source project for electronic voting.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody who's interested in this needs to read up on this.
What is perhaps it? EV like Victor, EVM like Mike?
Yeah, Echo Victor Mary 2003.
Okay.
And it's on sourceforge.net. Something like this. He's asking for help here. So if there's people who are developers out there that are familiar with the open source operating systems, wade in. You know, a few lines of code added to the mix can only help.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have some money to help these people, some of you more successful people out there aren't feeling the sting of Bush's America, throw some money at them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's all I have to say about that. Just so you know that God bless them, the open source people, the free software people, they're out there, and they see the need for this.
Yeah.
And they could be the saving of the day in all this.
Well, I can't wait. That's a good thing, too. That's an excellent, that's a monumentally important thing. The other monumentally important thing is Bev Harris's work. I can't wait until her book comes out. I do not understand why she is having a problem getting a court to hear what she has put together, finding a law firm to handle, just to collate all this material she's put together, put it in little neat little alphabetized files and present it to a court of law. I don't understand that.
Mike, look, recently on Democratic Underground, where I know that you sometimes lurk around the edges.
I do. I'm like a ghost.
Yeah, you know, big game over there is figuring out your nick.
There you go.
They've been discussing the Franklin Trust scandal in Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And there are parallels there, not in what was done per se, but in the way the powers that be form ranks, form phalanxes, proceed to cover everything up, and they will stop at nothing. I know that sounds like I'm wearing a steel colander with grounding tales.
No, absolutely not. We, America lost its innocence. Truly lost it. Really lost it. The day John Kennedy was assassinated, just about 40 years ago, and
the final nail was Bobby.
There you go.
And
Martin, and the game. You know, the jig is up. The game is up. It's a struggle for survival.
Mm-hmm.
Those powers lurking in the shadows. You don't need a tinfoil hat to tune in their frequency. It's there. This is just where we live. I'm surprised Kathy and I haven't been assassinated, frankly.
because it would, you know why?
No, you don't assassinate a radio talk show host or producer.
No,
you just
man.
Kill them. You know, you assassinate Lincoln or Kennedy or Martin, but, you know, I'm just surprised that, but we walk around fully armed, and so it's okay. Hey, listen, there's the music, Alan.
Oh, well, there's more. Seeks probe of White House.
Yeah, all right. Got a boogie. Thank you. All right, sir. Appreciate your call. I hate to cut people off. We're just running out of time tonight. Stay with us.
Open your eyes. Time to wake up. Enough is enough. Is enough. Is enough. Open your eyes. Time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Discrimination against female employees of Walmart runs so rampant that a case against the retailer deserves class action status. That's what 6 female plaintiffs argued before a federal judge in San Francisco yesterday. If the plaintiffs are successful, they'll add over 1.5 million current and former women employees of Walmart to the case. Plaintiffs charge Walmart segregates department employees by gender and routinely favors men over women for raises and promotions. The suit seeks compensation for lost wages and an order to halt discriminatory practices.
Think the U.S. economy is causing pain across the populace? Think again. A new report from the Congressional Budget Office finds that the richest 1% of Americans have more money to spend now than they did 20 years ago. In fact, the top 1% have more money to spend after taxes than the entire bottom 40% of the American population. It's the largest disparity between rich and poor noted by the CBO since it began tracking the trend in 1979. This corresponds well with the release of the Forbes list of the richest 400 Americans. Even though stocks have been pummeled over the last 2 years and most have lost money, those who made the list saw their net worth increase by $955 billion.
Hospitals seeking to do no harm should first hire better trained nurses. That's the conclusion of a new University of Pennsylvania study that shows conclusively that hospital death rates go up as nurse education levels go down. Researchers found that patients undergoing surgery were twice as likely to die of complications in hospitals where the percentage of nurses with 4-year bachelor's degrees was lower. A previous report conducted by the same researchers found that inadequate nurse staffing levels also contribute to thousands of preventable deaths each year.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephan's good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. If you're on hold, if I ask for your patience here, we will try to get to your call, honest to God. But I want to get these sound bites in from the White House press briefing today with Simple Scotty. It's getting worse and worse, or funnier and funnier, or grimmer and grimmer, depending, I guess, on your particular point of view. I think the crack White House press corps, which, with few exceptions, is just a collection of stumble bums and freaks, I think even they are starting to go, oh, man, what the hell is going on here? Now, yesterday, you'll remember, Simple Scotty was confused by reporters' questions about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Today, he was stymied over questions on the $20 billion of the overall $80 billion that the Bush crime family wants to steal from the American public for Iraqi reconstruction. For example, one of the reporters says to Scott, Scott, did Ambassador Bremer talk to the president today about the resistance in Congress to the $20 billion in reconstruction in Iraq? You know, Scott, some members are concerned that some of this money is, well, I won't say frivolous, but unnecessary, and that when the administration is trying to hold down spending, since we have such a huge deficit, that all of this $20 billion might not be necessary.
The wartime supplemental that you're referencing is critical to prevailing, to the United States prevailing in the Central Front in the war on terrorism and building a better future for the Iraqi people. A free, sovereign, and democratic Iraq
quack, quack.
Will help bring about peace and stability in a very volatile region.
Quack, quack.
That is the Middle East.
Yeah, but Scotty, did Bremer and Bush talk about this? Oh, never mind. But when you listen to Scott McClellan, do you notice how he talks like this until the proper one of six possible responses kicks in, and then he goes ahead and finishes up. You notice that? Another reporter tries to get an answer out of Scotty on the $20 billion for reconstruction. See, the crack White House press corps, they're starting to tag team. Huh? When one, they didn't do this to Ari Fleischer, and they should have. But they're doing it to Scotty now. So another reporter tries again to get an answer about the $20 billion. The reporter says, well, Scott, no one disputes the notions that you just laid out, that it's important that Iraq be reconstructed. But a number of Republicans, Scott, are suggesting that any money that goes for that should be in the form of loan guarantees rather than U.S. taxpayers paying for it. What's the White House view on that?
We believe that this is the right approach to take help us prevail in this front on the war on terrorism. Obviously, there is a congressional process, so we are continuing to work closely with Congress. But we believe the approach that we are taking is the right approach to take.
Well, yeah, but why? Why do you think it's the right approach?
Well, we've put forward both this entire package. It should be viewed as one package for helping us in the Central Front.
See? The Central Front. What the hell is the Central Front? I've heard of the Russian Front. I've heard of the Eastern Front. What's the Central Front? All right, now, they try again. See if you can make any sense out of this answer.
Scott, can you... okay, can you just clarify then to what level are we going to reconstruct Iraq? Is it to the level prior to the war? Is it going to be to a level prior to sanctions being opposed in 1991? Or are we going to make up for two, three decades of neglect? For example, Scott, I don't believe they had zip codes before the war, and yet Mr. Bush wants to spend taxpayer dollars to establish a system where they have zip codes. We're going to build several new communities, even right down to marketplaces. Why should that be up to us, Scott?
Again, we're working with the governing council. You have a broad representative government of the governing council of the Iraqi people. So we're working with the governing council. We're working with the ministers that they appointed.
Zip
again,
codes.
This was part of the seven-step process that Ambassador Bremer outlined.
Zip codes.
They named the governing council.
Zip codes.
At the same time, remember that we acted with great precision and speed to win the war.
Zip codes!
Now we're in the period of securing the peace, a lasting peace for the Iraqi people and building a better future for them.
Zip codes!
So we started off in a better position than probably many people would have expected.
Zip codes! Zip codes! Zip codes!
Oh my God. You see? Now, realizing that Simple Scotty still doesn't understand the question, yet another reporter says, but Scott, the average American will ask the question about, for example, what a computer study, a $54 million computer study about the postal service in Iraq that we're being asked to pay for has to do with securing the peace. Scott, the common sense question then that many people are going to ask is, what does mail delivery in Iraq have to do with security?
Again, well, what I would say to them is that we have put forward a wartime supplemental
zip codes
to help us prevail in the central front in the war on terrorism.
Zip codes.
One of the very first steps that we took here with our own Continental Congress back in 1775. It's important to bring in a new nation together and supporting the growth of commerce and ensuring the free flow of ideas and information, just like it was for America many years ago.
Oh, my God. Do you see what's going on here? They have finally put a certifiably schizophrenic individual out there to handle questions from the crack White House press corps. There is a metal cuff around Scotty's right ankle and a long chain that goes behind that curtain behind him, and they have him attached. And every time he starts answering something wrong, they send an electric current through that. Zip codes! Last attempt by a reporter to get a rational answer out of Scotty on this issue. Scott, oh Christ, let me take one more stab at this. The reporter actually said that. It looks in the breakdown of the Reconstruction funding as though there's an awful lot of money going to, oh God, you know, consulting studies like mail service, things which are common enough in this country, but one might reasonably ask why that kind of money, and it is a large sum, Scott, why that kind of money needs to be spent in the reconstruction of Iraq.
This is part about bringing stabilization, bringing about stabilization, bringing about peace, bringing about
zip codes,
a civil society in Iraq. Our military leaders as well, commanders in the field, looked at what the overall needs were for our troops. And again, all this will help our troops make sure that they have the resources they need, and it will help make sure that there's an environment that is secure for our troops to carry out their tasks.
Zip codes are going to do that? Oh, my God. Do you see? We don't make this up. We don't have comedy writers on the Malloy program. We don't. We don't have some of the witty people who write really fun things across the Internet. All we do is play for you what this jack-legged bastard says. This surfer boy with the chain around his ankle. Now, last one. Is this the last one? Helen Thomas. In an amusing little Q&A here with Simple Scotty. Now, I don't know if he talks over her, so try to listen to this very closely. Helen starts by asking, Scott, there's a new Census Bureau report that says 1.7 million more people slid into poverty last year. Is the president surprised by these numbers, and what is he doing to keep his promise to create more jobs?
We have worked to expand home ownership for low-income Americans so that more Americans can realize the American dream and participate in what the president refers to as an ownership society. So,
asking about jobs, not home ownership, jobs, more jobs in this country.
And I just addressed that.
You think there'll be more jobs?
Well, I think economists have talked about as that economy continues to pick up steam and grow at a faster rate, then you will see more job creation come into the mix.
Quack,
but
quack.
It's important to create the conditions for job growth. And that's why the president continues to say there's more that we need to do. We need to work to pass a comprehensive energy plan.
Oh, my God, kill me. Please kill me now. Please, just a stake through. No, not through my heart, through his heart. This is obviously a talking dead man. This is obviously a zombie or a vampire or a werewolf or I don't know, something from the swamp. Does any of this make sense to you? No, I'm not going. I'm not going to get all upset about this. This is just a comedy of errors. Can you imagine somebody whose first press conferences in the White House were with John Kennedy? That would be Helen Thomas. 40 years ago, probably before that. Does she go back to Eisenhower? I don't even know. But 40 years ago, 41 years, 42 years ago, and Helen Thomas is now confronting this little snot, this little moron who cannot, will not, refuses to answer a question. Well, we will continue to bring you the ongoing challenge between Scotty McClellan and the crack White House press corps. I just have to hear this one more time tonight. The interview Monday on Fox with Britt Hume and Too Stupid to Find His Ass with Both Hands. This is right after Britt asked W how often he prayed.
I pray for calmness when the seas are storming.
And then Britt said, Mr. President, when things go badly, as many people would feel they have been in Iraq, with the continuing casualties and dead people and blown off arms and legs and struggles and difficulties, do you ever doubt?
I mean, obviously, I think they're going badly for the soldier who lost their life.
All right, let's start over because we didn't have the sound up on that, and you got to hear the first part of this. So Britt Hume says, when things go badly, as many people would feel they have been in Iraq, with the continuing casualties and struggles and death and dismemberment, do you ever doubt?
I don't think they're going badly. I mean, obviously, I think they're going badly for the soldier who lost their life, and I weep for that person and their family. But, no, I think we're making good progress.
Unbelievable. How many funerals has George Bush attended? How many of dead Americans coming home? Of moms and wives and dads and in some instances husbands and brothers and sisters and grandma and grandpa. How many has this filthy little twerp taken his filthy self to? What did he say?
Well, I have to hug the widows and the moms.
No, you don't, you liar. No, you don't, you liar. You don't do any of it. You don't care. You don't care. Have I said yet tonight how much I hate this guy? Andy is calling from Santa Fe. Andy, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Mike. I wanted to sort of cap off Daryl's call and your earlier discussion about computerized voting.
Yeah.
Which was all just fantastic.
Yeah, Bev Harris is an American hero.
Fantastic. And but it's been my observation for a while that digital information put forth as a record is, by its nature, not verifiable,
mm-hmm.
period.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's music, pictures, or words. And that's the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah,
and without a paper trail of any of it, you see. So our embracing of the digital information network
mm-hmm.
is questionable.
Sure.
At the least.
Sure.
At
sure.
the least.
Sure.
And so that's my feeling about it is that. Well, it flies in the face of everything that we're being told. But I'm telling you, anyone, I ask anyone to prove to me otherwise, digital information put forth as a record
mm-hmm.
is, by its nature, not verifiable.
Yeah, or certainly alterable. A changeable.
No, it's not. It's not verifiable.
Right, that too. But certainly alterable or changeable.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It cannot be verified.
Right.
It
right.
can't by its nature.
I think we're screwed here where it concerns representative government in this country. I really do. Unless something unforeseen that I can't foresee happen. We've got the talent on the Democratic side. George W. Bush could be turned out of office tomorrow. He can certainly be turned out of office in 14 months. But that is if the system were free, fair, and open. And it appears to me it's being changed to unfree, closed, and certainly not fair. And I don't know what's going to happen if people in this country get the sense that George W. Bush stole a second election, I'll tell you what I think. This is what I think. We are going to have open rebellion in the streets.
Well, my statement tonight goes well beyond that. That the whole thing, everything, is going to be muddled.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. It's a false truth.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
I
pictures,
hear you.
Music, words.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, thanks, Andy.
Good night, bro.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Terry is calling from Petaluma, California. Hey, Terry.
Hi, Michael. First of all, I'd like to thank you so much for being putting the satiric edge on all this. The dark humor is a welcome relief. Thank
you're
you for the
sure.
tragedy. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But the thing that's always confused me about this is I don't understand how in the world, in this world, we can every day transfer probably trillions of dollars every day all around this world very securely. Most of it is neocon money.
Right.
So how in the world do they manage to do that? And here we can't count a few million votes down here among our voting process?
Well, you know the answer, and I know you're asking it rhetorically. Of course we can count the votes, unless we are denied a system of vote counting. And that's what these the creepy bastards are doing. And
that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, and I don't know how to fight against that. That's why I'm saying I hope Bev Harris's work bears fruit. A. B. If it doesn't, if George Bush attempts to steal a second election, we're going to have a scene here like we had in Yugoslavia when the people of that country said to Milosevic, get the hell out of town. Hey, hold on a second. We'll do a break and come back, because we have to break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Places, stir up eddies in the dust of rage. Set me to facing the cage.
Man, this milk smells bad. It tastes funny, too.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well,
we needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-DEAL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-DEAL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-DEAL today.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In a guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief. Spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is what took so long-itis. In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener-friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
It wasn't all that long ago that we started military operations. We've been there, how many days? You're counting the days since we've been there, because I'm not.
Yeah, of course you're not. We were talking with Terry in Petaluma, California. We're just about out of time. Terry, go ahead and wrap it up for me.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to say a couple things. One of them is that I think that one way we can get around this is to start a vote absentee program.
Yeah, that's
all
true.
Vote absentee, and then I think we need to get Jimmy Carter to give him another job and let him say grace over the whole thing.
Yeah, we also need to bring in some U.N. observers monitor our vote in 2004.
We might find some that would be glad to do that for us.
I bet we would. I bet we would. Hey, thanks for checking in, Terry.
Have you got just a second?
Very quick.
Have you ever heard about the quote about Kennedy 10 days before he was assassinated, a speech he made?
What did he say?
He said that there were powers at work that had a plot to take over the presidency, and he had to inform the citizens about it.
Yeah.
And it was in a speech, and I checked it out today, and it was given that way. 10 days before he was assassinated, he said that he was going to inform the citizenry about it.
Well, Martin Luther King, the night before he was assassinated,
yeah,
said something very similar. Yeah,
I know.
All right. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. We're just about out of time. I hate to take another call here, and I do apologize for the folks who are being left on hold. Oy. We missed so much tonight, Kathy. I don't know. Just missed a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about. Oh, well. Let me get this said now. The program was engineered in Detroit by Jay Balicki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. And a thank you to Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com. He is our webmaster, and he is the one who set up my website, MikeMalloy.com. So visit the site. Daily program topics, live chat, message boards, and a big thanks to our moderators there as well, the people who try to keep the place swept clean and... all volunteers who keep the place swept up and the dishes done and the rat droppings off the floor. So thanks to our moderators and to Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com. And also, as always, a big thank you to Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Well, I got all that said, right? How much time we have left? Can I have my drink now? Can I have just a huge Jack Black on the rocks? I don't know about y'all, but man, I can't wait to close this microphone and pour a stiff one, right? I'll see y'all Monday. Have a great weekend. I'll see y'all Monday, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
Mama said, I'm going straight.
Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
you
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month, you'd have
I want
a
to
different...
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your